So here we are. We see Jesus, and what are we looking at here? We're so busy, you know, we get through Christmas, and then we have the Epiphany last week, which is a neat story, and I hope you liked it. I hope you saw the proof. We saw the proof in the stars and the proof of the Scripture, and that means nothing if you don't go down to worship. We see what the stars said. The stars don't lie. We see the Scriptures don't lie, but you go to visit the baby, and there's three reactions, right? One wanted to kill him. Herod wants to kill the baby. The other men, the scholars don't want to ignore him. But these wise men, they want to worship him and give him gifts. And so we see what happens in Jesus' life. We know that here's where he's at. He's sitting at his hometown of Nazareth, right? And he works for his father, Joseph. Joseph's not mentioned anymore. We don't know if he passed away or what, but Jesus is 30 years old, we figure, before he starts his ministry. And he's up there, and he's taking care of his mother, Mary, and he's running the shop, we think. And then he hears something happening out in the desert. He knows his cousin John. The parents got together before they were born, and the baby John leaped in his womb because he knew who Jesus was. And so we see here at Matthew chapter 3, John's down there baptizing in the Jordan. So Jesus comes to Galilee, to the Jordan, to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" Jesus says, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. Here's the funny thing. Let's turn to the Bible, right? The Old Testament. I'll give someone $10,000. They can open up the Old Testament and show me where it says we have to be baptized. Where is it, Lisa? Anyone looking? Where is it? Where is it, Joey? It's not there. What's going on? You know, Jews don't need to be baptized because they don't have any sin, because they are sons of God, aren't they? They don't need it. They don't need. So what's this baptism thing? If you're joining the faith, those outside the faith who are not born a Jew, you must be baptized before you come in. It's also people are recognizing something. What's John saying down there? He's saying, repent. Things are coming. Things are happening. We saw that with Mary and Zechariah and Joseph, right? What happens when Gabriel shows up? That particular guy, right? I beat you over the head hard with that one, didn't I, Robin? Gang over there, didn't I? Remember what happens when Daniel hears that it's Gabriel coming to see him? And it means it's happening. He's announcing the arrival of the Messiah. So when he comes to Mary and Joseph and to Zechariah, he's saying, "I'm Gabriel, and what God has promised is happening. The Messiah is going to be born." Micah, everyone's looking at the book of Malachi. We covered that 2 weeks ago. Remember, folks? Oh, yeah, you like that one? Those four chapters? What are we doing wrong? He says, "Why do you cheat me?" God says, "Well, how do we cheat you?" We ask. And he tells them how. And so we see that story and ends with, I'm going to send Isaiah to come. He's coming back. But it's not Isaiah. He sends John in the likes of Isaiah. And John is down preaching repentance. And what the funny thing is if you start hollering about repentance, if you start speaking the truth, people might actually listen. I can sit on a job site with 300 men, and I can preach the word of God, and they will listen. You don't believe me? We've done it. They want to hear it. The world wants to hear it. So he comes down there and Jews don't have to be baptized, but people are hearing the word. Things are happening in their lives. They're feeling something that they need to change. And John says, "Come on down. Come on down to the river. Be baptized. Go in. Go underwater and come out a new person." Jesus shows up. John knows who he is, doesn't he? He's known since he was in the womb of his mother that who Jesus is. He says, "Me baptize you? That doesn't seem right. I don't need to do that. I need to be baptized by you." And Jesus says, "No." And this is confusing. So what do? I need help. I can't explain this to you. My brain's not that smart, so I get help. I'd listen to a guy named Tim Keller from New York City, right across from Strawberry Fields Forever. He passed away about 3 years ago. It was very sad, but he is one of the best preachers I've ever heard. And he says this, "When we go under the water, is that a good place for us? Can we live under the water? No, we like showers, we like drinking water, we like washing our feet. These are good things, but we can't live under there. And if you could live under there, you'd be a fish, wouldn't you? And I thought to myself, what kind of fish would I be if I lived underwater? I'd be a tuna, Fran, because they're kind of fatty, but they're delicious. That's what I would be. I'd be a tuna. I'm sorry, this is what I think about. My wife's going to leave early today. It's not because of what she needs to get to. She has to go to work today. So if you see her leaving, maybe it's because of me, but it's because of work. So you go underwater, but you have to come out, don't you? You can't stay under the water. Water is death. So when we go under the water, that is death. When we come out, a new life. Jesus says, I'll be your substitution. I go under the water for you. I go under for you. I go into death so you don't have to come up as new life. He is a substitute. As soon as Jesus was baptized and he came out of the water, and at that moment heaven was opened and he saw the Spirit of God descend like a dove and alighting on him. John sees this. He sees the dove land. The word like a dove, it's kind of, we think it was imaginary. It was like a dove. The word like in that term means it was a dove, a physical dove, and they saw it. They saw it, and John, the writer of John the Beloved, was there. He knew it, and so he wrote this down, that they saw this together. It was the Spirit of God coming upon Jesus, and a voice from heaven said this, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." And I think of this as, what's Jesus done so far? He hasn't done much. He hasn't started his ministry. But everyone knows what he's saying. You know, he's quoting two psalms at this point. He's quoting Psalm 2 from David. "This is my Son who will rule the nations. I love him." And he's reading, from Isaiah 42. We read that. "He's the servant. I am well pleased with him." And so we think about our own lives real quick. What do we think when God is pleased with Jesus? Is he going to be pleased with me? How do we get to please God? What do we have to do to please God? More on that later. So Jesus goes into, he's led by the Spirit. The Spirit says, leave here, go into the wilderness. You need to be tempted by the devil. And he fasts for 40 days and 40 nights, and he was very hungry. "When I got sick, I fasted for 2 days. I lost 13 pounds. It was amazing. I felt this sense of euphoria when I was fasting. I felt like I was smarter, like I'm in a different zone. I don't need food like you normal people anymore. Look at me go. 2 days without food. The second night I had it. That's it. 40 days to get clarity. He goes out there to think. What are you going out there for? You're a simple carpenter from Nazareth, but you know who you are. You know you're the Son of God. And what are you going to do? It's time to start. It's time to start because that's what the book says. When Isaiah returns, when the form of John, things are happening. Repent. Everyone needs to come together. He hears the call. The people want change. They're coming down to the river to see him. Even Herod comes down with his wife and down by the river and see what's happening. And what does John do when he sees Herod? He immediately calls him out. He calls out the king. "You stole your brother's wife. You're an adulterer. What do you think of that?" And we know our leadership loves it when we call them out, don't they? They listen to us, right? No, they don't want to hear it. So we know, chop, chop, John goes. He's invited to dinner, isn't he? And they take him away eventually. But something's happening. It's the time is now. It's happening. 40 days and 40 nights, and he's very hungry, and the tempter came to him. We know who that is. It's our friend the devil, right? Satan comes, the accuser, and he says, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." And Jesus answers, "It is written, man should not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him up to the holy city and had him stand on top of the temple, which is 450 feet below the Kidron Valley. It's a huge jump. He says, "If you are the Son of God, just jump. Just jump. The Bible says you won't be hurt, will you? If you jump off the building, you will not be hurt." That's in Psalm 91. "He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift up their hands so that you will not strike your toe against the stone. Jesus answers the devil saying, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Quoting Deuteronomy 6:16. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain, and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said, I'll give all of this to you if you bow down to me and worship me. And Jesus says, get away from me, Satan. For it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And so the devil left him, and angels came and attended Jesus. So that he's sitting out in the desert for 40 days. His ministry has started. John has announced it. It's time. People want repentance. They want something new. There's a need, and they feel it, and we feel it today. We need something different. The things of this world aren't saving us. So Jesus says, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do this? Because he knows he has the power. The devil knows what Jesus' gifts are. He knows who he is. He says, you can do these things. You can turn rocks into bread. And Jesus, he does that twice, doesn't he? He turns loaves and fishes, and he feeds the massive people. He feeds 5,000, and he feeds 3,000. And what happens after he does it? Exactly what he said would happen. People walk away. They want something more. Thanks for the free meal. That was nice. We don't know where it came from, but food came more than we could handle. But now what? We want something. We want more of that. Can we have more of that bread? Because today is a new day. I go to that Brazilian steakhouse. It's quite expensive. And they'll bring you all the meat you want all night long, Chuck. Then there's only so many pounds of that you can eat. They'll even bring you fried cheese with honey dribbled on it. I'm like, well, whose idea was this? Let's have more. Bring more of that. That wasn't even dessert. That was like between the meat courses. But the next day, guess what? You're ready for breakfast, aren't you? You're still hungry the next day. And he says, no, this is more. We need more than this. I can do this. The devil says, if you're the Son of God, if he knows who he is, Jesus knows he is, and the devil knows he is, just jump off the building. And he quotes Bible. The devil uses the Bible against Jesus, doesn't he? He's quite clever, isn't he? The devil has read the Bible too. Where's the devil on Judgment Day, Joey? He's in heaven, right? The devil's in heaven at God's left side, right? We see that in Job. Job's God's in heaven. He's called a council in heaven. He turns around and guess who's there? He says, hey, Satan, how you doing? Where you been? He's like, I've been roaming around causing trouble. You know me. Yeah. Well, what do you think of Job? Isn't he not? Doesn't he worship me? Yeah, only because you give him good things. Well, go ahead and do what you want to him. He'll still be true. You'll see. The devil is in heaven. The devil knows Scripture, and the devil knows what will turn us around, what will turn us towards him. Do not put your Lord God to the test, he says. Once again, he goes to the heavens and the high mountain. I'll give you anything you want. I'll give you anything you want. The people will worship you, and we'll do it the easy way. And Jesus says, we can't do it that way. We need to do it another way. You see, here's what I see. What does God send us? Does he send someone to emulate? Does he send Jesus down to say, be like him? If you're like Jesus, things will go great for you. If you follow all my rules, things are going to go great for you. This is my son. I am well pleased with him. If you want to please me, do what he does. And what happened to Jesus when he pleased God his entire life? He did everything he was supposed to do, and he never sinned. And what was his reward on earth? We follow Jesus, we follow God in this life, and we will be beaten. And we will be spit on, and we will be mocked for sure. I'm okay with the mocking. That's already been done. Keep bringing on, right? But the pain, you will be mocked. You're supposed to be better than this. And you're not supposed to get angry, right? People tell me, what kind of preacher are you? You get angry. Yes, I get angry. I'm very angry. And I don't like that. And we know who that is. Because Satan is coming after us. Another preacher fell the other day from grace. 8-year relationship improper. And it breaks your heart. He's like, I know I was doing wrong, but he did it for 8 years of wrong. He knew. Am I better than him, you think? Everyone going like this. Gosh, no, I am not better than that guy. He just got caught. Y'all haven't caught me yet, right? Hope I never leave anything for you to catch. Hope it's not there. Do we emulate Jesus? What kind of life is that? Do we need a role model? We need not someone to emulate, but we need a Savior, don't we? Someone to save us. I love that the Satan says, if you're the Son of God. But what does John chapter 1, verse 12 say? But all who received him, he gave the right to be called children of God. But Satan says, if you are. You know who you are. You are children of God. Not if, but you are. You are children of God. Act like it, right? How do we get Satan out of our lives? You see, he keeps coming back because he comes back to those who say the name of Jesus, don't they? If you want Satan to flee, you say, it is written. Have the scripture on your heart. That's why we read it. That's why we take it slow so we remember, so we know it. Right, class? Right, Rita? We take it real slow. So maybe too slow? I don't think so. We'll get there eventually. By the time we die, maybe we'll get through three chapters, right? But we're reading it. We're reading it together, and we're learning how to get Satan to flee from your presence. Read scripture, right? It is written, he says, and he reads from the Bible. One day we'll see Jesus on the cross. For his next 3 years, he lives a blameless, perfect life, and he's doing such wonderful things. He's telling everyone about the kingdom of heaven and not about this world. And he's correcting us on our thoughts about money and our hearts and our lust and following his commands to love one another. And there he is. He's hanging on the cross. And what's his last thought? It's the word of God, isn't it? What does he say? He says, my God, why have you forsaken me? He's quoting the Bible again, Psalm 22. Jesus turns to the Bible every time that he is tempted. Have you picked up your Bible this week? Rita did. I know Joey did. I hope did you all pick it up this week? Is the devil coming after you? Is he making you angry at your family? Is he making you angry at your sister? She's coming up Thursday night. Anybody want to come hang out with us? No, you've seen enough. You've seen enough on your own. Not staying at my house. I'm not that forgiven. It's not easy to follow Christ, is it? It's easier to follow the world. And I sit there and I watch way too much internet. I see people showing us how easy it is to make money. I go, I could do that if I had any brains, and I don't. It's sort of after the fact. Oh, that's how they did it. I don't know how I can do it. Times are tick-tocking, right? Running out. What do I see, and what do I really want in life? As I get older, and I know what it is. And I say I want to be like Jesus, and I see what he did. He got beaten up for it. He got crucified and whipped until his bones were laid bare and his muscles and sinews were hanging off of his body. And he carried a cross and he allowed himself to be nailed to it. And I don't think I want to be like that. Let's pray. Jesus, you're so amazing. We want to be like you, and we can't. And that's okay, because you say, I will show you forgiveness. I will show you mercy and compassion if only you say my name. If only you proclaim me as Lord. I am the Savior of the world. This is what I came to do. I came to save you from the depths of Hades. I came to show you festival joy. I came to robe you in white. I came to take your dirty clothes and throw them away and put on something clean and fresh and new. That's what I came to do. No, we won't be like him. We can't follow everything he does. We will fall short always in sin. But Jesus says, I will wipe away those sins. I will wipe away every single tear. There will be no more pain. There will be no more heartache in my Father's kingdom. I'm calling you to it. It's not about you. You are not the center of the world. He is. Follow me, he says. My yoke is light. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Follow me. Let the Spirit lead you into the wilderness where there's nothing to eat or nothing to drink for so long. But I will be there. I will come and I will attend you and I will take you out of the wilderness. I will take you into a place so beautiful. A place full of festival joy. Where we will sing and we will praise the Lord forever and ever. One day these things will come, as all your promises have come true. And we say these things in the name of the Father, the Son, Jesus Christ, who is Lord, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Amen.